Hey, dear dividend investing listener, welcome back to the Dapper Dividends podcast. We are so ding dong dang very happy to have you here and allow us to come into your ear holes for a good 30 minutes or so, approaching the vicinity thereof. May not be quite 30 minutes, but we're going to get you some interesting information that you can use to make you a better dividend investing, so on, so forth, and so such. I don't really think so such is a word, but we're going to say we'll allow it. We just checked with the judges. They're going to allow so such as a word. So what's going on? I am a little tired, fresh off a Christmas party that we had from my wonderful boss and employer. Thank you so very much. And coming back today, we drove by Cosmix. What is Cosmix? If you don't know, well, I'm going to tell you. I'm so very glad you asked. Cosmix is the new jam from McDonald's. It's the freaky, funky space alien thing that's landed to compete for that afternoon pick-me-up rush, whatever it is that they're calling. CEO Chris Kemczynski, I think I just said his name wrong. He's a Polak. There are sorts. I'm a Polak. I guess I can use that, right? Us Polaks can call each other Polaks, but if you're not a Polak, you can't call us a Polak. You can't. It doesn't work that way. But yeah, it's going to be a competitor to Starbucks and to Dunkin' Donuts for that, you know, customizable drinks from what I read. That's pretty much the essence of it. They're going to have little bits of pastries and some fancy schmancy food like tomatillo avocado little sandwich and things like that. And we drove by. They have the very first one ever. It landed in Bolingbrook, Illinois. We drove by it and it was crazy. It was the police. There's a parking lot that it's in where there's like, you know, whatever, like a Planet Fitness and a tool store and an AutoZone and a Best Buy. So it's got one of those ginormous parking lots and it was slammed. They had cones. They had the cars snaked around everything. I mean, police flashing lights. It was a spectacle. And it had to be at least a 2 to 3 hour wait from what I could tell to get your frappuccino, whatever they're going to make there. And it's just really interesting to watch. So from what I've read, that McDonald's is opening this one here in Bolingbrook. Then they're going to open up in 2024, 10 locations in Texas. And what they're going to do is they're going to study that data for a year. I don't know if it's going to work, but it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, McDonald's does plan to open up about 10,000 new stores in the world. So they're really going for it. They're going to try and grow a lot, but we'll see. I don't know. Maybe we'd go when things calm down a little bit, but I'll tell you what. We are not waiting 3 hours or 2 hours or 1 hour to go check this place out. And it's just it's a tester. So everybody and their brother that's in the area is like, oh, we got to go to Cosmix. And yeah, whatever. I'll put a link in the description to the CBS News article that I got this information from in the description below. If you want to read it, watch the video yourself. They took a camera on site so you can see it with your own very little eyes. I'm so proud of you. Look at that. I don't know if this will really move the needle for McDonald's. It might. And I think it's more of an experiment and they're just going to go and see how things go. So that's what we did there. I'm going to tell you, we're going to be excitedly getting to tell you how you can recognize when a bad decision might be coming from you. Yes, you, dear dividend investing listener. And a little bit of portfolio activity, some dividend news, and what have you going on there is what we're going to do. So what did we do in the dividend portfolio this week? Well, we haven't been doing a whole heck of a lot, but we received dividends from two companies that we own. Johnson & Johnson, ticker JNJ, paid us $91.63. I've been holding off buying it. It shot up to almost $160. Looked at the chart, and yeah, you can turn the chart sideways and upside down sometimes, and you might get the same result. It really is astrology. There's no hard and fast rule, but from what I can tell is when things on the chart look like they're at certain points, there's a high probability that they are going to keep going up or reverse or do this, that, or the other thing. I've been studying it for several years now, but J&J looked a little bit overbought at around $159 a share, meaning that it was likely going to run out of people buying it at that range, so it was likely to pull back, and voila, it sure as hell did. It's pulled to the low 150s, like 154, 155. I think in the next week or two, we'll see it back around 150, 151, maybe 149. So I'm going to jump in, hopefully between 150, 151 range, and just go in more. I've still got that money from selling off Intel and Target and a few other things, you know, ancillary odds and ends positions, not core. I want to get that big, gleaming, beautiful, mostly safe. Well, I won't say safe. You know, when you think of stocks, which are equities, they're never safe. They're always dangerous, but some are more safe than others, I would say. Johnson & Johnson is going to be a little bit more safe with a high probability and likelihood than your Plug Power would be, something like that, or your QuantumScape, these battery makers, the solid state batteries or plug, you know, all that stuff. We don't know how that's going to turn out. And again, remember, we say that's why Warren and Charlie, God rest his soul, used to say, we want to know what's not going to change, because then we can confidently put our money there. If we can predict that people are still going to be drinking Coca-Cola in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years time, and it's going to be growing and increasing around the world, well, that looks like a great opportunity to put your money into, because there's predictability, which is huge. So either way, J&J, we'll look to buy some more this week. LyondellBasell, ticker LYB, which they are on our chopping block. We're going to look for an opportunity, but it has a nice yield. My problem with that, well-run company, but they have problems with commodities. When the commodity price craters, or if demand at the same time dries up. So LyondellBasell, they're a chemical manufacturer. They make like polyolefins, a lot of the chemicals that go into plastics and things of that nature. But if demand for that material dries up, well, then there's going to be less demand for them. So there's a lot of things that are not within their control, even though they're a very well-managed company, kind of like Innovative Industrial Properties, ticker IIPR, very well-run company, not a lot of debt. They have a fantastic balance sheet for a REIT, but because it's cannabis and it's still a, I think, Schedule I drug, if you ask the federal government, what they decide to do can affect the business, and what states decide to do can affect the business of an IIPR. So more risky when things are not within their control. So LyondellBasell, we only have 15 shares, and I've hesitated that, but I'd like to go into something a little bit more stable, I guess. Now, that may be a utility, right? Since REITs and utilities are still pretty much down. Some healthcare stocks as well. So those are some of the big losers that are, you know, pretty much value plays that people have always looked to put their money into, is real estate, utilities, and healthcare. But when the interest rates went up, it made those less attractive, because you could get those guaranteed interest, those guaranteed yield on those investments without really having to worry about the risk of your principal eroding. But hey, at the same time, you don't have to worry about the risk of your principal also going up. So it's always, there's always a trade-off. There's no free lunch. There's always a give and take to every scenario and situation. So always remember that. Please don't ever forget that, or I'll spank you. But I got $110.38 in dividends this week, which is fantastic. And so far, year to date, in the three portfolios we share, we've received $5,992.59. Got about another $636 to go towards the to close out the year here. And then what did we buy? Well, I bought one more share of Nexstar Media Group, ticker NXST. Had a fun thing. Ryan Williams, my guy, he's making a video. Well, I don't want to spill the beans. Damn it. Sorry, Ryan. I'm not going to spill the beans, but let's just say I contributed something to something the man is putting together. We'll leave it at that. I bought another share of Nexstar Media at $141.44. That's 103 shares. I think it's undervalued. And, you know, I could talk about it for a long time with Nexstar Media, but they're just a free cash flow machine. They're buying back shares. They've bought back 25% of their shares outstanding since 2019. That's a 10% a year clip. huge when you have a business doing that. So if you've held since 2019, your ownership in the business has increased 25% without you doing anything else. And why is that? Well, that's because there are 25% less shares to spread the earnings over and the free cash flow over. So you're entitled to a bigger slice of that pie. So therefore, that's what you get when you get what you get, and you don't throw a fit when you're buying that. But also, one quick thing, I could go on forever. We won't bore you with Nexstar Media, but 25% dividend increase in each of their 10 plus years of paying a dividend. And they had a 25% increase last. So just wonderful, wonderful business. I like how they're run. There's a big political election coming up here in the United States in 2024, presidential election. And you can't look when you're investing in a business like this. It's not the first quarter that you want to see, but 80% of the ad revenue that comes in from political is going to be in the fourth quarter when, you know, elections are coming down to the wire and they heat up and they really have to dump that money in to try and get them. But yeah, it's been a bit of a slog for Nexstar Media. They're in an ad recession. You know, we've had businesses that have tightened up the purse strings a little bit, and usually ad revenue, ad spending. As a YouTuber, I see this. Those are the first things to get cut. So, oh, and the C-Dubs. They got the C-W. It's one of their projects that they're really trying to turn around. And a lot of people, I don't think, are prepared for it, but they have ACC College Football and Basketball. They have the NASCAR Xfinity Cup Series coming in 2025. 2024, in the fall, they have WWE Next. They have LIV Golf. They're working to try and get more MLB or NBA broadcast. They want to broadcast a lot more because these sports teams, they want a wider audience. And it's just so clear that when you broadcast things for free, there's a wider audience that will watch it. So it's kind of works out. And when you have more people watching, you get more ad revenue. So it's kind of a win for the viewer because you get to watch things for free, sporting events for free. It's a win for Nexstar Media because they get to have more eyeballs on their product. So when you have more eyeballs, you can charge more for ad revenue. And then you also get the league, whatever the team is, they're going to get more exposure. They're going to get more eyeballs on their fans or on the players from the fans. So it's just really cool. I love it. Again, I could probably fill up the whole entire podcast just talking about Nexstar Media and how, you know, the Charter Disney thing that sucked them down, that they're still down from, wasn't even really a fight about them. Okay, I know I said I was going to quit. This will be the last thing, but really what that fight was about, from what I've read, is that Charter was upset that Disney was putting premium content on their DTC, the direct-to-consumer part of it, and they weren't seeing any of that on their bundle stuff. And then also, they didn't want to pay for, like, you know, Nat Geo Telemundo, like Spanish National Geographic Channel. They didn't want to pay for, I don't know, FXX. Like, they had three different FXX channels, and they were like, look, We don't want to pay you for the crap channels that nobody watches anymore, and you're putting a lot of the good stuff, we're not getting access to it. So that's kind of what they worked it out. Again, if anything, it was a benefit for kind of what Nexstar Media does in the long run. So we'll see if that comes to pass, but that'll be it. We won't get into the ATSC 3.0 about them because we got to move on. I also bought one share of Harrow Incorporated, ticker HROW. They're the ophthalmologic. I'll never be able to say it. Never. Ophthalmologic, I think is how you say it. Eye drugs. Just think pharmaceuticals for the eyes. Mark Baum, their CEO, really enjoy him. I think he's a good person. You know, as I study Buffett, you want to look for managers that are really good people that you can trust. I believe I can. My radar could be a little bit rusty. I could be picking up some cross signals here, but I think he's going to do the right thing. And I like how he's running the business, trying to buy these eye drugs and really cement a name for Nexstar Media as the premier. Wait, did I say Nexstar? No, Harrow Health. Harrow Health which is now Harrow Incorporated. They changed their name. They are not going to be next to no. I just spoke over myself. We won't edit that out. Why? I don't know. Because it's Sunday and I'm enjoying talking to you, and we want to move it along to the very next thing we have for you, which is dividend news. We've got dividend news that you can use. Look for the clues. I've got a raging clue. What was that? Was that South Park? The Hardley Boys when they had raging clues? Remember that? All right. Alexandria, ticker ARE. They upped the dividend 2.4%, which is we got a lot here. I'm literally going to move quick here. Alexandria raised their dividend 2.4%, which is now a yield of 4.25%. That's a REIT, office REIT. One of the better ones from what I hear. CVS, you know them, you love them, ticker CVS. They raised their dividend 9.9%, which is 27 years of uninterrupted dividends. How about that? 3.54% yield. You go, CVS. The healthcare equipment company Stryker, ticker SYK, raised their dividend 6.7%, which is their 32nd year of growing dividends, 1.11% dividend yield. MasterCard, ticker MA, raised their dividend 16%, which is their 12th consecutive annual increase. Yeah, like, they all have such a small yield, they're going to be able to grow these dividends forever. So you're really going to have to sit in these for a long time if you're hoping to get a nice dividend yield. But super safe dividends in the time being, 0.64% yield. Danaher, the life science tool and service business, adjusted their dividend 11% lower because they spun off Veralto last September. So 0.44% yield, as Danaher did a dividend lowering. Simply Safe Dividends, which is where we're getting this news from, if I didn't say it yet, they refreshed their outlook on Scotiabank as 70 safe, 6.97% dividend yield. Good old Bristol Myers Squibb, ticker BMY, raised their dividend 5.3%, which is uninterrupted dividend since 1970, 4.77% yield, which is sky high above their 5-year average, but they get a safety score of 79 safe. Carrier, ticker CARR, which is the build, you know what, they do HVAC. Look outside your house. You might have a Carrier unit. Or stick your head out the window. I don't know, whatever you got. 2.7% dividend raise, which is their fourth increase since they were spun out of Raytheon, ticker RTX. So that's a nice little interesting raise for them. Only a 1.38% yield. Eastman, ticker EMN, specialty chemical business, raised their dividend 2.5%, which is their 14th consecutive annual increase, 3.82% dividend yield, safety score of 85. Tyson Foods, ticker TSN, had downgraded, Simply Safe downgraded their dividend from 90 very safe to 80 safe, 3.81% yield. So that's a bit of a rough patch they're going through, but you know, they're going to be okay, I think. Ecolab, ticker ECL, raised that dividend 7.5%, which is their 32nd straight year of dividend increases, 1.19% yield, but a dividend safety score of 98. Broadcom, ticker AVGO, which is just a beast, raised their dividend 14%. That's their 13th consecutive year dividend growth and a yield of 2.22%, but that happens to be below their 5-year average. Dividend safety score of 67. Universal Health REIT, ticker UHT, raised their dividend 0.7%, but that's because they give a dividend increase almost every quarter. No, I take that back. They give a dividend increase twice a year is what they do. So 6.85% dividend yield there. WP Carey did the dividend adjusting lower. We've all been expecting it. 20% lower following their office property spinoff. And they have a dividend yield of 5.5% now. So that's WP Carey. But here's another one that I wish I stayed in a while ago. CubeSmart, ticker CUBE, raised that dividend 4.1%, which is their 14th consecutive straight annual raise, 4.81% yield, 61 dividend safety score of safe. Zoetis, the pharmaceutical company, raised their dividend 15%, which is their 10th straight year of dividend growth. Congratulations on being a dividend achiever. 0.94% dividend yield. Dividend safety score of 74 safe. The multi-utility business in Michigan, DTE, raised their dividend 7.1%, which is their third increase since 2021, 3.76% yield, safety score of 90. They reaffirmed British American Tobacco's dividend, safety score of 45, borderline safe, 9.6% yield. Those are all high. Oh, Eli Lilly, ticker LLY, straight out of Indianapolis, which, by the way, their kicker Matt Gay screwed me today because he had 0 points. But either way, 15% dividend raise for Eli Lilly, which is a three-decade streak of uninterrupted payouts, 0.87% yield, which is way below their safety, their five-year average because they got Mounjaro, the weight loss drug, and it's been skyrocketing their price. So remember, when share price skyrockets up, the dividend yield drops. When the share price drops, the dividend yield pops, and so on and so forth. Dividend safety score of 96, and we made it. My God. I hope you're listening on 1.5x to make this blow by faster. You investor, you, look at you. Coochie, coochie, coo. I would tickle you under your digital chin if you had one. Okay, last one. PSX, Phillips 66, the oil and gas refining and marketing business, raised their dividend 3.35%. Dividend safety score of 65. So we made that. And on the flip side of these ads, which, hey, just zone out if you want to. We're going to get a few bills here paid off. Well, we're really not. Honestly, between you and me, I got like $30 from Spotify over the last month. I'm not paying many bills with $30 now. It'll eat some of them, but considering the time I put in this, it's nothing. Either way, so go ahead, zone out, space out. Think of that time back in high school when you may have had to do the swim unit and it was embarrassing and you wanted to call in sick, but you had to go and do swimming in high school. And while you're thinking of that, these ads will be playing. I'll see you in a minute. Hey, it's me. We're back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Heck, snap out of it. We're going to get into exactly how you can tell you might be making a bad decision or about to. So, Psychology of Money author Morgan Housel, love the dude. He was actually just on the ACQ2 podcast. I shared that in the newsletter in the beginning of November. Really enjoy listening to Morgan Housel. And his new book is called Same as Ever. And from what I can understand, is the whole idea behind it is that while technology changes, the one thing that's not going to is human behavior. We're just lock it in, slam dunk, guaranteed. Human emotion, human behavior is not going to change, especially when it comes to making investment decisions. And honestly, that can be used to our advantage or our disadvantage. Check this out. When I was 30 years old, okay, so this is a few years ago, about 15 years ago, when I was 30, my best friend of 28 years, Jay, and yeah, I met him when I was 2 years old. He had just met his future wife online, and I had the pleasure of meeting her a few times, but, you know, you just know when somebody doesn't like you, and I could tell right off the bat that she just did not like me. I don't know if I don't know, whatever it was, I just had that feeling like this person doesn't like me. And just right after that, it was like, he was always busy. He was never available. My friend, he was pretty much, I thought he was going to be a bachelor for the rest of his life. So I kept trying to set him up with girls and things, but he was super shy, no confidence. I figured a lifelong bachelor. So I was happy for him. Like when he met her, he's like, I really like this girl. And I was like, yes, I was excited. But, you know, it wasn't like it used to be, just meet up for, okay, we weren't going out to like gentlemen's clubs or something, right? We go to the bar on a Thursday night, get a beer or two, maybe some food, whatever, come back to my house, watch a little TV, hang out, you know, my wife. He didn't even have time to meet my newborn daughter. So I knew something was up. I tried trying to call him, emailed him. And anyway, he emailed back and told me that I was taking pleasure in trying to keep him down, miserable, unhappy, trying to wreck everything that he ever worked for to make him happy. And the short of it is that he just didn't want me as part of his life anymore, that his life would be better without me. And dude, I was just floored. I literally cried. Like I literally, as a grown man, cried from that, because it was a lifelong friend that I had just always wanted nothing for the best. And this was even the best man at my wedding. Dude, we went through it a few years later with my wife, Jenna. Dude, her best friend, the same exact thing. She met a dude online. My wife and him got into an argument over something stupid, but, you know, my wife doesn't really like, you know, let's just say she speaks her mind. So, yeah, this dude didn't like her. And then soon after, same thing. Her friend was just like, it just evolved and they couldn't be friends anymore. So what that made me realize, and what that reminded me about life, that other than it being unpredictable, which can make it really interesting because we don't know what's going to happen, is that despite any kind of proven facts that people have, we can be incredibly irrational or illogical in our decisions. And it totally became clear to me that when somebody is involved and they have a significant other, that significant other is going to be bringing strong emotions of romance and intimacy to a relationship that, like, a typical friendship, like a buddy-buddy friendship, does not, right? I'm not getting it out with my buddy, so there was no emotions like that. There's a Psychology Today post that I'll have linked in the description below that pretty much describes how our logic can be hijacked by emotion, and it can also impair our judgment. So we've got to realize that when we're in an emotional state, it doesn't matter. It could be love, hate, fear, anger, joy, sadness, just go down the gamut of emotions. But when you are emotional, you got to at least realize there's got to be a little thing that goes off in your head that says, hey, ding dong, right now you're emotional, so you are highly susceptible to influence and persuasion. And it could be good, but people can use that for bad. Just like I realized that my friend Jay, and, you know, I think it was just that his future wife didn't like me. She liked him, so she wanted him without me. So she used that manipulation, used that persuasion of somebody that was in love to hijack his logic, somebody that I had known for 28 years, and use that against me. So I don't think he was thinking rationally or logically. And it's exactly the same thing when we're trying to make long-term investments, that our decisions can be hijacked by our short-term emotions, and we can do things that can literally cost us thousands of future dollars. So that's something I need to remember too, because I used it. Remember, we talked about it when Intel was blowing up. I had told my buddy Harris from One Penny at a Time podcast, you got to check it out. I told him a year before when I was down, I don't even know, like 30%. I said, dude, if I can just get back to 10% down on Intel, I will be pleased as I will be so happy to take a 10% loss. And then I held and held and held, and we get to where I'm up a few percent. And I was like, it's going. I could hold and make more. And I was like, you know what? I was feeling greed. Greed is an emotion. That emotion of greed was hijacking my logic. and conveniently making me forget how I told somebody, like, I'll get out of this. So I ended up just taking a gain of like $50 on the position, plus all the dividends I had received. So I didn't lose anything, which turned out even better than I could have expected. And I'm glad I did. It's come down now. I would have been back down. But I said, you know what? It's a business. I don't understand. I understand what they do, but I don't know how to assess Intel's moat and or if they will be a market leader in 5 years or 10 years. I just don't know that. But what I do know is that there's one thing we can be certain of, and that it's that as human beings, we're emotional creatures. And if there's one thing, God bless Warren and Charlie, God bless, God rest his soul, God rest you, merry gentlemen. It's not Christmas yet. I think something that can really help us to put us in the direction of finding a logical and rational answer is to focus on what is A, knowable, and B, important right now. So what's knowable and what's important? And if we just start answering those questions, I think it can hopefully bring us back to being rational, looking at the facts. But we're just emotional. We always have been. We always will be. But if we want to be successful long-term investors, we've got to keep our emotions out of it. And if you can't keep your emotions out of it, that's why God invented ETFs, right? I think that was in the book of Genesis when Moses came down. He had the third tablet with the ETF outlier. Anyway, look at that. That was horrible. I just made myself laugh, and I was like, I'm going to force it. And I was like, now it just sounds even worse. Okay, well, we're done with that, and we're done with this. I really do thank you, my dear dividend investing listener, for swinging on by the channel. Hey, leave a comment. We haven't had any comments in a while. If you're on Apple Podcasts, just leave a review. Make it goofy. I'll read it. I don't care. Make it good, make it bad, make it silly. Want to get your goofy name? You want to call yourself Mike Hawk? Go ahead. Have at it, Mike Hawk. We'll put you on. I'll put you on. I'll read you. So I do thank you so very, very, very much for coming on by the channel. And I do hope you come back again next time. Have a fan-tiddly-tastic week in the market. Head on over to DapperDividends.com to sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. It is free, and it will always be free until it's not. No, it's going to be free. I enjoy putting it together. So do that. You can track what we got going on. Follow me on Twitter, at RustyRam78. You can hit me up on that. And I will talk to you in the next podcast episode and talk about that portfolio. So long, everybody.